Well, today we get to talk about one of my favorite subjects. It has to do with food and being Jewish. If you know me, you know I'm a real food fanatic. I love good food. I love to cook good food and eat good food, you could tell. And then, of course, I'm Jewish, so you put the two together, you have my ideal subject. I had this commercial to show you, but we can't show it because it's a commercial, and we put this out on the air, so I can't show it to you. I got reprimanded after first service for doing it. But you know, it's the commercial of Uncle Sam, and he has the Hebrew National hot dog in his hand. How many of you have seen that? Not too many. Oh, I wish I could have shown it. Well, anyway, I'll do an example of it. So here's Uncle Sam. He's in his outfit. He has his top hat with stars and stripes. He has a Hebrew National kosher hot dog, and flashes and peals from heaven are coming and saying, "We answer to a higher authority." And that's what it's about. Being kosher is answering to a higher authority, and that's God. So today we're going to talk about a kosher life. And I'll tell you, kosher is kind of, it's a good business, you know. There's some things out there that some inventions that have been made to help people lead the Jewish life that God has called them to as Jews in the Old Testament. And can you put up that slide? This is Shabbos, which is Sabbath, bathroom tissue. How do you like that? You have to realize that in the Sabbath, you cannot do any work. And so ripping off a piece of tissue off the roll is now eliminated. So you're not working and you're keeping the Sabbath. That's a good thing, right? Wonder what else they'll come up with. Thanks. So there was a story about God wanting to give the Ten Commandments. And God first went to the Egyptians. How many of you knew that? That's right, he didn't, but we're pretending right now. He went to the Egyptians and he asked them if they'd like a commandment. And they said, "What's a commandment?" And God said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And they said, "Well, that's just going to ruin our weekend, so no." Then they went to the Assyrians. God went to the Assyrians and asked them, "Would you like a commandment?" And they said, "What's a commandment?" And he said, "Thou shalt not steal." And the Assyrians said, "Whoa, that's going to ruin our economy." So then they went. God went to the Jews and he said, "Would you like a commandment?" And they said, "How much?" And he said, "Free." And he said, "We'll take 10. Don't tell that joke to anyone. So, one of the unique aspects of being Jewish, like I am, is being kosher. The Hebrew word for kosher means fit. It means fit. Defining foods that are fit for consumption as a Jew. The Jews were God's chosen people in the Old Testament, and they were told by God to eat only particular foods. And you could even see that before the Ten Commandments came along with the Ark. There were kosher foods and non-kosher foods, clean foods and unclean foods, and clean animals. Moses taught the people and wrote these basic laws in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, 4,000 years ago. Some animals are clean and some are not. You're wondering how this has anything to do with today. Well, it does, quite a bit. When I became a Christian and I found out I could eat ham, I kind of went crazy. I know. It was quite exciting. It's not why I became a Christian, but it certainly was a good benefit of being a Christian. So it's not just that an animal is clean or unclean. It's also that it needs to be processed in a certain way. Like, it needs to be done with a properly sharpened knife. It cannot be a dull knife. It has to be a particular knife. I don't know how many of you knew a pastor that was in our area. He passed away a few years ago. His name was Ed Manning, but he was a master knife maker. He was known all around the world for his knife making skills. That's an interesting thing to have. Anybody else have that? No? And he was asked by an Israeli organization who was looking into starting the next temple, because there are many people that are working towards that next temple being built. And they asked him to build that knife, to make that knife. And before he died, he made the knife that is set aside right now in Israel to be that special knife for the sacrifices that would take place in the temple. And so it needed to be a special knife. And it also needed to be done by a special person, the soche, as it is called, the soche. You say that and you cough out as you do it. It's kind of the way that works. That's the way most Jewish words are. Something to do with guilt, I don't know. So the soche inspects the knife, and before he cuts, he washes the animal's neck. This gets a little gory. Washes the animal's neck, and then he must kill it by cutting through the trachea and the esophagus to the jugular vein quickly. It has to happen quickly. There can be no stabbing. It has to be one continuous movement. It must avoid all other body parts. Then the carcass is hung upside down so the blood can be drained from the animal. Why is that? Because the Bible says we cannot eat the blood, according to the kosher laws, because God said the life is in the blood. And that's why it's by his blood that we are saved. Amen? And so all the blood needed to be taken out. And then the soche checks for any abnormalities, any sicknesses, any abscesses in the lungs. And actually, the reality is that only 30% of all the animals that originate in starting to be prepared for being a kosher animal are rejected. Only 30% are kept. And so there's a lot of issues that can get in the way of an animal not being kosher. The preparation, the way it's done, maybe a sickness of the animal, whatever it is. And after that, the animal is soaked, salted, and then soaked in water, and then soaked in water three more times and rinsed. And then after all that, there's a seal, a pluma, that is placed upon the animal that says, this animal is kosher. And it is supervised by someone who can authorize it as being kosher. Isn't that amazing? The process that is still gone through today in kosher circles about preparing an animal for consumption. Being kosher is not just a belief. It's a whole lifestyle, as you can tell. It's something that takes over kind of your whole life. You know, my mom is kosher now. She wasn't my whole life. As a matter of fact, when I was a young kid, I went to my Sunday school, my Hebrew school teacher's home with another person from our class. We met three times a week for 3 hours a day to prepare ourselves for our bar mitzvah, which is like a Catholic, what's it called? Confirmation, thank you. And so we prepared, and he invited us over, and he was Orthodox. He was kosher, and it was amazing to experience what it was like to be in that house. We couldn't flick light switches. We had to walk to the temple instead of drive. All kinds of rules. And when I went back home, I said, Mom, we should be kosher. And she had grown up in a kosher house, and she said, no way. It is a lot of work to be kosher. Chase actually worked in a hotel and ran hotel kitchens that on occasion were made kosher for kosher events. And it's a big deal to be kosher. A kosher restaurant or a kosher home needs to have three different sets of dishes. Cannot have anything unkosher in its house. And everything needs to be cleaned and supervised by the rabbi before that place is considered kosher and can prepare kosher meals. So it's a lifestyle being kosher. To try and live in the kosher laws is something that takes great effort. You don't just say, okay, I'll be kosher. My mom was smart, because you can never do that unless you really focused your energy and attention on it. Well, I've learned from my years of following the Messiah that everything God started with the Jews becomes amazingly clear with Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament has connection to the New Testament, and the New Testament clarifies it. You know, it says in the New Testament that we see through a glass dimly, but soon we shall see face to face. What a glorious thing that is going to be, to be before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no greater hope that we have than to see Jesus face to face. It is going to transform us and our very being. You ever think about that? What that first glimpse of Jesus Christ is going to be when we see him face to face? It's going to be like a nuclear explosion in our souls. There's going to be nothing like it. It will change us for all eternity. Being with him face to face. Oh gosh. I can't wait for that. So all the things of the Old Testament, they have their inception there. The concepts are there. They are in their infant form. But when Christ comes, he clarifies, not only clarifies, he brings it to full fruition, our understanding of these concepts. And that's why we're talking about being kosher today, because I don't know of any of you who came here to hear a lecture on walking out and making sure that you can live a kosher life with the right animals and clean your kitchen. Is that right? Anybody want to do that? You're crazy if you do. It's a lot of work. So this is what the scripture says about this, that God has taken these things that are in their infancy in the Old Testament and bring them to light now for us to understand. It says in 1 Corinthians, these things happened. The kosher laws happened. The events of history happened to them, to Israel, as examples, and were written down as warnings to us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So these things, the Old Testament, happened so that we could get it now. Aren't you glad? We can get it now. We could walk out understanding what it is when Jesus said that we should be kosher as he is kosher. We should be holy as he is holy. Amen? Galatians 3 says this, but before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, babysat under the law, officiated under the law, being shut up from the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified with faith, by faith. So here we have the law, here we have the kosher laws, the history, all these things that have happened. We have a custodian, that is our custodian. They're holding us together until we get safely in the arms of grace of Jesus Christ. It's not like these things are thrown out. They are our custodians to lead us into the grace of Jesus Christ. You guys getting this? Because this is pretty exciting to me, that we can be brought into Jesus' presence is an amazing thing. So let's look at our scripture today that we're going to kind of divide up just to prepare this. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're a little upset because they see the disciples living and doing things that are not kosher. And they're saying, what's this? You're supposed to follow the law. This is our law. This is what we're supposed to do. And they're complaining to Jesus. Jesus' response is this, and we want to look at it today. He says to the crowd, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. after he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable, because even they were perplexed. "And are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach." Isn't that right? "And then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean, and therefore bacon is okay. And I'll harp on this as long as I can. Of course, my cardiologist says no. So now I have another reason why I can't eat bacon. That is just not fair. And he went on. "What comes out of the man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of man's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, and adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." My first point today is God teaches us there is clean and there is unclean. It's the first lesson of history, of the history of the Bible, is that there is clean and there is unclean. In this scripture, Jesus affirms that there is clean and unclean. Matthew 5 says this, "Do not think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law." So yes, we do not have to walk in the old kosher laws. We walk in the new fulfillment of those kosher laws. Don't you think that's an important thing for us to look at? A great portion of the Old Testament was devoted to this concept of clean and unclean. So it should be good for us to understand what is the extrapolation that Jesus Christ made from the kosher laws of food to how we live our lives today. This is a good thing to know. God teaches us there is clean and unclean. Leviticus 11 says this, "These are the regulations concerning animals, birds, every living thing that moves in the water, and every creature that moves on the ground. You must distinguish between the clean and the unclean, between living creatures that may be eaten and those that may not be eaten." The clean and the unclean. There is a difference. The world is set up in a way that there is clean and there is unclean. We live in a world that rationalizes everything away. And basically, probably still, the rationalization that we face in this world is, well, you could do whatever you want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. The problem with that is it's still unclean and it does great damage. And you could see that in our news. Just watch the news and you see the damage that is done. You see immorality. You see evil thoughts. You see theft. You see murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit. Leviticus 11 says this. You're getting a lesson in some of these kosher scriptures. "But all creatures in the seas or streams that do not have fins and scales, whether among all the swarming things or among all the other living creatures in the water, you are to detest." What a crazy word, huh? Don't you think that's like an emotional word? That's not like, don't eat it, it's not clean. No, detest. There's a meaning, there's a depth to that word that goes beyond just, that's clean, don't eat it. God's trying to say something here to us. "And since you are to detest them, you must not eat their meat, you must detest their carcasses." Just a few times that word is used. Whenever you see words repeated like this, there is an emphasis that God is trying to make. What is the emphasis? We are getting a hint there that this is intended to go beyond the physical. You don't just make some physical choice and decide, okay, I'm not going to eat that. It's not clean. Now, in our society today, there's lots of things that people say, oh, I probably shouldn't eat that. But I don't really hear anybody say they detest it, except for liver. But rarely do I hear anybody who's on these wild diets, right? And I'm not anything against wild diets, but I just think they're funny, right? You know, these wild diets, I don't hear anybody saying, I detest that food, and so I'm not going to eat it. No. But God's using this word. He's not using it once. He's using it three times to speak to us that it goes deeper, deeper than just a physical judgment. There's something going on here that God wants to tell us about. And we want to look at it. Now, of course, you know, this also included all kinds of yummy seafood like lobsters, which I have personally decided to not listen to this part of the scripture. No, I didn't say that. Cut that. That's another thing I really enjoyed eating after I became a Christian. So we're getting this understanding that it goes deeper than just a physical judgment. Ezekiel 22 says this, her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean. And they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. Here we see what God's heart is. That God is looking beyond the physical and drawing us from the Old Testament into Christ's understanding that there is a spiritual nature to following Christ and to obeying him and being cleansed by him, being fit. Aren't you glad that Jesus made you kosher? Isn't that cool? Jesus made you kosher. There is no way anything else could make you kosher except the grace and the cross of Jesus Christ. That is it. So everything you hear from the rest of this sermon on, you have to remember that it is all about Christ making you kosher first. You cannot do it in your own strengths. Number two, what goes in the heart is the key, not the stomach. What goes in the heart is the key, not the stomach. Again, in our scripture in Mark, Jesus says, after he's left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull? Interesting that he would use that word. He asked, don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. So it is not the outside things that make us unclean. This is a good thing. Being focused on the outside things making you clean, looking clean, we call that religion. We call that religion. And we are freed. Praise God. We are freed from religion, and we don't have to worry about washing ourselves, making ourselves clean. We could walk in that door just as we are in our grody clothes and in our grody souls, and we could see the grace of God transform our hearts. Amen? Amen. That is the most thrilling thing there is. That is the most freeing thing there is. It's not about religion. It's about the grace of God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. The kosher laws are an object lesson to teach us this very thing. It's not food that goes in our stomach that makes us dirty, but what's in our hearts. Who we are has very little to do with external cleanliness. It's what's in the heart that counts. 1 Samuel 16 says this, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider the appearance. I want to set this up. I'm sorry. This is Samuel hunting down for the next king, right? And so he's going to David's family. God told him to go to David's family. So he's at David's family. He sees a whole bunch of guys, a whole bunch of brothers that are strong, and the oldest one who's usually the heir, right? And so he's going through this entire list of sons to find the next king after Saul, the one who failed to be God's king. And he's looking for the next king. And he's thinking, well, God, what about the firstborn? He's the one. Firstborn's always supposed to get everything. No, not him. Okay, how about this strong one over here? Or this handsome one here? No, not him. And then he says this. Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So aren't you glad that you don't have to clean yourself up on the outside? And aren't you glad that you can't clean yourself up on the inside? That it's because of the grace of God that we could be before him forever? Safe and secure in the arms of our Savior? We can. It's the most magnificent news there is. You don't have to do religion. You don't have to scrub the outside and make yourself acceptable. And you can't do the inside. Only the grace of God. You can only fall on your knees before God and experience his grace and receive his salvation. That's amazing. That's amazing. Matthew 23 says this, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be forever clean." Jesus Christ came to clean the inside of your cup and my cup. When you get things poured into your soul that are sick, that are not healthy for you, it reminds me of a movie that was made called Super Size Me. Anybody see that movie? It's years ago. But it was this guy who did an experiment, right? And it was a one-month experiment of eating only McDonald's foods, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And every time he was asked to supersize, he would. So it wound up being about 5,000 calories. That's a lot of food. And so he documented it over an entire month, and he had some crazy results. First of all, he gained 24 pounds in 1 month, 24 pounds. That's 13% more body mass. And he experienced mood swings, sexual dysfunction, liver damage, all kinds of things. It took him 14 months to lose that weight. So putting things in you that are physically bad for you are going to have a result, right? You're going to get sick. I mean, look at all these diets out there that teach us what to eat, what not to eat, so that we stay healthy physically. Well, there also is a diet that we can eat that is going to bring great blessing, great freedom, and great life to us spiritually. After Jesus cleans our cup, cleans the inside by his grace, then we have the opportunity to live that out and recognize that whenever anything dirty comes in, how many of you know it will? How many of you know you're going to be tempted? How many of you know you're going to sin and get angry at somebody on the road? Okay, you could all raise your hand on that one. We're going to do this. So when it happens, then we just apply the grace of God again and be changed and transformed. Now we're not saying sin is okay to do all the time. It isn't. But it brings damage. But when you sin, then you go to the cross again, get forgiveness, and let God change you in this area. Now, I'll give you an example. One of the things that I really have struggled with in my life, Cynthia, when she met me, she called me a bull in a china shop. Now, maybe I am still a little, but let me tell you, she has saved you from the insanity of the real bull. She really has. Because of her love and because of God's grace and her pointing this out, I have really been changed somewhat in this area. And one day, I continue to move forward in that. God wants to change us. So you can imagine how the supersize me concept would work in our lives. We live in a world that says supersize me in ways that damage our souls. Yes? We do. It's all around us. We live in an aquarium that has one reality, and that reality goes against the reality of God. It is the reality of doing whatever you want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. And that reality can do damage to your souls and my souls. So number three, our words and our actions are fruit of our hearts. What we do, what we say. You know, I'd have like bad reactions from people for things I did, like maybe my impatience and stuff. I'd have bad reactions, and I'd think to myself, gee, I was trying to be so nice to that person. And I wouldn't even realize it. It was happening, and I'd do it. We can deceive ourselves in this area. So continuing with our scripture in Mark, he went on, Jesus said, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. When you see what comes out, and you guys, this nails it for me too, because, you know, I can't just say, well, that's not what I meant. That's not what I thought. Because the reality is what comes out is probably what's in there. I might have stumbled over some things and not done it in the best way, but probably part of that is my soul is not very healthy in that area in my life. And so what comes out can be unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, and so on. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. What a crazy thing to try and clean up the outside and leave the inside dirty. Religion doesn't work. We have to go to the source. We have to go to Christ himself and let the grace of God be applied to our souls. And then what flows out is going to start. It's not going to be perfection. That's why the grace of God is appropriate today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day. Isn't that awesome? It's going to be a transformation process over the course of our lives where we are set free from selfishness, from anger, from bitterness, unforgiveness. We're set free from that. Trying to clean the outside and leaving the inside dirty is kind of like trying to be French by eating French food. It just doesn't work. You will be picked out of a line real quick. You are not French. God's desire is to heal us. He wants to clean us on the inside. And he has, by the grace of God, cleaned us on the inside. If you know Christ, you're going to have an opportunity at the end of the sermon to say, I want to be cleaned in my heart. I see those things that are dark, cause me pain, cause people in my life pain. I want to be set free. And you can. You can. Luke 6 says this, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. Out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. I want to address this thing about good because this is important. That's a really key word in our culture here. And I want to talk about it because the Bible is very clear in Romans. No, and also it's quoting the Old Testament. No one is good, not one. Raise your hand if you're good. Don't raise it. No one, the Bible says, is good. So what is the scripture talking about? It's talking about those that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Those who have been set free from the sin nature. They were dead and now they're alive. That doesn't make them special. It makes them forgiven. That's all. There's no impressive thing. You didn't do anything impressive. You didn't do any religious thing to make that happen. Jesus Christ came into your heart and you were forgiven of your sins. Glory to God. And out of that, the Holy Spirit now lives in you. And you are able to now start living a life that is so very, very different from what your destiny should have been. Should have been. The idea of this scripture talks about is that that talking about consistency between source and product. If what the source is tainted, the product is going to be tainted. Make sense? So if we are not forgiven of our sins and the Holy Spirit doesn't live in us, then the product is going to be a problem too. If we have come to faith in Christ, then God can do miracles in your life. And like I said, there's a lot of things that we're going to grow in that. It doesn't happen all at once. I don't see any perfect people in this room. But we could be set free. The thing is what are we allowing into our souls that might hinder that process? Because there's a lot of things out there in this world. This world is trying to sell us so much that is destructive, that is death. I can't believe what pornography is doing to this country. It's unbelievable. I remember when I was a youth pastor years and years ago. I'm glad Chase is our youth pastor. He's a great youth pastor. And he's committed to it. When I was a youth pastor years ago, I went to the library and I walked past an early computer, and I saw on that computer that there was a 12-year-old looking at Playboy on the computer. I could not believe it. I could not believe that in a public environment that we were paying for a child to look at pornography. And so I called up senators. I was going to start a campaign. And I found out that we can't do anything about this because it's freedom of speech. Is that the craziest thing you've ever heard of? So right now, in every home in America, we have this big pipe that's going into every home called the internet that is a cesspool of garbage that is possibly going into our souls and our kids' souls. And so it's important for us to judge and to determine, is this thing going to bring me life in my soul, or is it going to bring me death in my soul? Jesus Christ brought life. We're children of life now. We need to eat food that brings life. Jesus says it's how we feed our heart that makes all the difference. Our stomach is the vessel for physical food. Our heart is the vessel for spiritual food. First Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit that is in you, whom you've received from God?" What a great thing. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. There is absolutely, categorically, no need for God's temple to be physically built in this world ever again. Because the whole purpose of the temple was to cleanse us from sin and to have the presence of God that was eternally being represented in that temple. And now, that's in you and me. What a glorious thing. What a glorious thing. Last point. We could have Pete come on up, please. Why eat the things of this world when you can have heaven? What a great question. Why eat them? Why eat the things of this world? They taste good for a moment, but they bring death. We already have the life of God in us. We've already been cleansed by God on the inside. Why not eat the appropriate food that brings life? That was interesting. Why do we want to do this? Because God has life for us that is so beyond the fake lie that this world has to offer. The devil's native language is lying. And he has the greatest lies out there. And he has lied and said, eat this food and you're going to live. But you have to replace that word with you are going to die as the truth. Bring death into your souls. Death to your souls. Deuteronomy 14 says this, you are the children of the Lord your God, for you are a people holy to the Lord. Holy to the Lord. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. Do not eat any detestable thing. We are kosher because of Jesus. And now, it makes all the sense in the world to eat the food that Jesus leads us to eat and not the food that the world leads us to eat. So why don't you stand with me right now? I just want to say it again. No one can clean the inside of our souls except Jesus Christ. No one. And that is good news because Jesus Christ will do it if you ask him. Why don't you close your eyes? We're going to give opportunity for people to ask Jesus to cleanse the inside of their souls. Lord God, we just come before you right now and we pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that we can be saved from the destruction that is brought, that can be brought into our lives through living an unkosher life. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would do a great work. Right now you might be thinking, yeah, I need to give that up. I need to be accountable to someone for the struggle I have with thoughts or with pornography or with lying or with impatience like me or any of these things. What is it? What is the thing that you're struggling with that is an unclean food that you could give to the Lord? We're going to pray for you in just a minute. We're going to pray for you now that you would just be releasing that to the Lord. Also, those of you that want to be cleansed for the first time, no one else can do this. You cannot do it for yourself. No one else can do it for you. No religious leader can do it. No religious act. This is the supreme, dominating, glorious act of a God who spoke and said that I love you and I have died for you and I want to set you free from the death and the cleansing that you are experiencing. And so if that's you, if you need to give something to the Lord, if you need to ask the Lord to do this while everybody's praying, just raise your hand. Raise your hand right now. Take that opportunity right now. Don't hesitate because God wants to do something today. He wants to do something in our hearts. Lord God, right now, we just ask that you would set people free. We thank you for those that are raising their hands, those that aren't, but in their hearts they are. Lord, we ask right now that you would miraculously work. We thank you that it is by your grace that we have been saved through faith. It is not by works. It is a gift of God that no man can boast. We receive your grace in these areas in Jesus' name. Amen.